Welcome to the Transform Sales Podcast, where forward-thinking business leaders come to share their experiences and ideas, learn from each other, and amplify their results together.
Hey guys, what's up? Amir Ryder here for the Transform Sales Podcast, our series, the Sales Agency Spotlight Series, where we focus in on highlighting amazing sales agencies like SDR Labs. And I got my guest today, CEO Ariel Levine. You have the same name as my brother, man. Not that often I run into that. How's it going, man? How are you?
Very good. Very good.
So we love to do this episode just to create transparency and help buyers find the right sales agencies and get leads and pipeline, which they so desperately need. And sometimes there's a little bit of friction. So I'm going to start off by maybe just asking you first, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself, SDR Labs, who you guys are and how you got into the wonderful business of sales outsourcing and lead gen.
Sure. So Ariel Levine, I operate from Israel, although my team is all over the world. So we've got people in Europe, in the Philippines, and in South America, very much thanks to CloudTask. And what we do is we book meetings for B2B companies. We use the phone, we use Twitter, we use LinkedIn, we use email. We stack all of these together to book meetings for our clients. Essentially, what I was doing before doing this part of work is doing lead generation. And then a client just knocked on the door one day and said, I want meetings. So I hired my first SDR and then the next SDR and the next XDR. And we've got some accounts now where we manage five or six accounts in one account, in one client. So that's how we got started.
Awesome. Talk to me about who your best fit clients are, right? Like, what do these buyers typically sell? And what do they typically hire you to sell?
Sure.
And let's talk for the purpose of this. Let's get that 80-20 rule, because I know you help a lot of people. But let's talk about like that 80-20. And I'm gonna get you into a case study after this. But yeah, if you tell me best fit clients for your agency, and then quickly what they hire you to sell and what they're selling.
Best fit client is a tech company. Usually they have an established team of account executive, but they need basic work done to get meetings for those guys. So my best client, for example, they have 16 staff in terms of sales. So that's how big their sales department is worldwide. And these are our best fit. What they hire us to do is we book meetings for them worldwide. And specifically, they go to a lot of events. So what we'll do is we'll get the event list, we'll research that event list, and we'll find the people who match their ICP over there. Okay. And we book meetings for them. So instead of just booking a handful of meetings a month, we'll book a lot more like that.
So two things I heard that I want to hone in on. Technology or SaaS, right? And then there are teams that have not only account executives, but skilled account executives, right? So they have high quality account executives that are able to convert deals. They're very good at it, and they're just lacking the pipeline, right? So it's not even just a tech company that's, got a founder as the AE. You're looking for a team that has a little bit of product market fit, AEs that are trained, that are hungry, that are skilled. And that's a good fit for you guys. Makes sense, right? Because if they don't convert the deals, then it doesn't live. And then the second thing I heard, which is to me, it's an opportunity for you to do a listing that says specifically trade show lead gen, post trade show, right? So on top of that, you've also found success running campaigns that are generated by a team of AEs. Because usually when a team does a trade show, they fly in with their account executives. That's how I used to do it, right? So yeah, they got great account executives, are making deals, but they don't follow up on the trade show. So that's almost a listing. So anybody who's listening, a lot of times companies, people invest in trade shows, but they don't invest in what to do after. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine that you could be following up for a year on those leads, right? If they're qualified.
Exactly.
That makes sense to me. Let's talk about a success story. Tell me about a service offering you were hired for. You can name out the service offering if you can. And does it line with prospecting, closing, or other service? From what I'm hearing, it's prospecting. And I'd love to know how they measured your success. You can do this case study without naming the name of the company. If you want to name the name of the company, you can too. But we're more interested in the type of company, what they hired you for, what they measured your success on.
Sure. So what we were hired is as to book meetings in Money 2020, the Money 2020 event. It's essentially it's a big conference, and we were handling about three or four different profiles, like AE's profiles. We went on the list. There's 16,000 people that attend. We filter the list. We create a list that matches their ICP. Then we further filter it by different territories, and we split it per person. And we ended up booking about 10 meetings per representative, so about 40 meetings all up. Plus, they had a lot of traction because they had a booth there. So they did very well out of that. And what they measure us is based on meetings at the conference and meeting post-conference as well. So
qualified pipeline?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, it makes sense. Now I understand who your best fit clients are. Yeah. There's a lot of companies that have really good AEs that don't have the pipeline that go to trade shows, right? And you have that experience. That's why we do the show. It's so that we can extract this information from you and let people find you. Changing gears, now that we kind of got a gist of SDR Labs and who you guys are about, talk to me about mistakes that buyers make during the selection and hiring process. And I'm not really focusing on mistakes that, like, you know, I would say influence your ability to convert them as a customer, but mistakes that ultimately lead them to hire the wrong agency or the right agency the wrong way. You've seen this happen probably all the time. You talk to a lot of buyers, they're perfect fits. What mistakes do they make? And, you know, if you were to be able to whisper in the ear of your potential future buyer to say, hey, do these things to come in prepared for me to serve you with pipeline, what would that be? What are those mistakes that you've seen, and what could people expect if they were to avoid some of those mistakes?
So a lot of times they have a specific focus. For example, they want to get the lowest cost per lead or the lowest monthly retainer, or they need specific things like to work in a certain way, and they have their own way. So they're very focused on that, and that's the only thing that they will look at. And if they find that these are the people that they're going to hire without doing the proper due diligence of who have you worked with in the past, talking to a few of those people, having some understanding, seeing if there's some adaptability from the agency side to work with their own, with the client's process, to work with the client's CRM, to make it easier for the clients and not have the client adapt themselves to how the agency works. So there needs to be a delicate dance between those two. So this is what I usually, if they say, look, this is the most important thing to me, but I need to check in the other three or four or 10 things to make sure that what I'm getting is balanced.
So if I hear you correctly, one mistake that they make is not understanding the math of their funnel and then ultimately defaulting to cheap is safe. And I don't know the math of my funnel, right? Like, it might cost me $1 billion to get to Mars, but I only have $500 million, right? So I just try to save money, which is okay if you know the math of your funnel, right? Like, I know that I can get a click on Instagram for a remote candidates at 8 cents. And I know that that's 50 cents on LinkedIn. I know my price, right? Yeah. And I know there's obviously quality difference, right? But I couldn't say something's cheap or expensive without knowing the name. I've had that happen before. I've had somebody meet a paper meeting agency and we gave them a quote, and the VP of sales said, that's expensive. And then I go, well, what is your current cost internally? And he goes, I don't know. And then I go, well, then you can't say it's expensive, my friend. He got pissed off, obviously, at me for telling him that. But that's, you know, shout out to him. He's living in California and paying $10,000 a month in rent, but wants to save, can't afford the meetings. And then if what I heard correctly too is that, and this is why I asked the question about what your success story was and how they measured you, right? Because I think what you were saying is that buyers that don't know the math of their funnel can often lead to emotional cheap, right? Without knowing the right price. And then if I heard correctly, you've also mentioned that buyers that don't know how they're measuring your success and change that will lead to a bad buying, right? Like, at first they're measuring you on revenue, and then they're measuring you on ROI all of a sudden. And their sales cycle is 9 months, but they want an ROI in 6 months. And if you do that, You will fire the agency and start from scratch, and your account executives will be vulnerable. Those account executives that are awesome, they'll get poached, because if they're not going to hit their OTE, they're out, right? So there's more to lose than just not hitting your quota. You might lose your AEs, right? And that's why I tell buyers that, yeah, you got to stick to what you're measuring it, right? Like, you're not going to go to the Olympics and get measured on a 100-yard dash and then they change it to 50 yards, right? Same thing applies here. So was that a fair summary of what you said, or did I just make things up from my head? Because sometimes I can do that.
No, that was a fair summary. I think you said it better than I did.
Well, I'm just listening to you, right? So I think it's my job now to listen to buyers and listen to sellers and match them, right? Because I used to be as well running an agency like yourself before we were a marketplace. So like, I know, you know, I wouldn't say I did said it better than you. I'm just, my job is just to listen better, if it makes sense. And I have a long way to go, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you know, where you think the sales agency business is going. Talk to me about the future of the SDR role, and if you have any opinions, you know, do you see this industry growing? Do you see people outsourcing more or hiring internally? And what are your thoughts of just the SDR position in general?
So it's a really interesting time to be in, especially because of AI. You know, we're looking to outsource our own appointment booking, like the email and LinkedIn work, wherever we can connect an API to try to do it through ChatGPT. So there's going to be a ChatGPT agent.
Yeah.
Communicating with people through LinkedIn and email. So most of the work that we're going to put emphasis on is going to be phone work. And it's becoming more challenging, I think, by the year, because people can identify where calls are coming from, spam filters, people are filtering LinkedIn messages. So the whole role is evolving. You need to do a lot more personal branding as an SDR. You need to do more social selling. And ultimately, you know, there might be a situation where the AI is going to be so good that it can replace a lot of the work that you do. There's already calling agents that can
yeah.
be called calling, not as good as a human being can. I think, what did I want to say? That totally eludes
me. I got a question for you. So this is the perfect time for me to jump in. With that said, because it's so easy to see that when I ask that question, the wheels start spinning because the industry is complex, right? And that's kind of why I tell software leaders or companies, it's like, you really want to be in the game of lead gen. It's a full-time, triple. I have been introducing Ariel to the new technology, some dialers and this and that in the back. Sometimes they're always looking to innovate, right? This is the question. As SDR work, lead gen work, pipeline generation becomes more difficult, does that make a sales agency more desirable? Does that make it less? Does that make it less efficient for a team to hire in-house? Like the complexity increases, the difficulty increases. Would you say that that's a reason for companies to outsource more, or should they play the game of trying to keep up with the complexity? Because I see that as an opportunity, but I want to hear what you say.
Yeah, I think it's very much depends on the sales leader that leads that whole operation and how and what they want to focus on. Do they have the ramp up time and the runway to start setting up everything themselves, to build a system, to hire people, to train people, to churn people, and all those things, or just to focus on results and do help that agency with the best resources, with the best data, and just focus on those results. So that's what I think. I mean, and back to your previous question, I think the thing I think I fear most is not is essentially the AI procurement agent that where computers are just talk with computers and make buying and
procurement. I agree with you. That's the future.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's where we're headed. I believe that the missing piece is that it'll always be new job creation, and there'll be more complicated, more advanced jobs. So I welcome it, but I'm in that 1% that welcomes change, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too. I think there's an Israeli vibe with technology where we just love change. But I'm not afraid of that, because then there's going to be a position where someone monitors the computers buying with each other, right? Do you think computers are going to take kickbacks from each other? Are they going to bribe each other?
Bribe each other?
It's power. Give some GPU. They'll bribe each other with different currency.
I'm sure. I'm sure they're gonna be those type of things. Yeah.
There's some funny stuff. It's definitely gonna be a Black Mirror type of world. I'm super excited about it. Ariel, this has been awesome. This is the one of many times that we're gonna talk and pick your brain and obviously find the right people that you can help. And it's been quite the journey. I do appreciate all your support and chatting with you. For anybody who wants to visit the listing, you guys can click the link below or feel free to directly contact Ariel. Ariel, where can people find you? Where can they follow you? Where can they be in touch with you to learn more about how you can maybe help them if they have awesome account executives, low pipeline, and have a lot of events happening? Where can they find you?
So naturally, there's the listing. There's sdrlabs.io. I'm Ariel Levin on LinkedIn, Ariel Levin on X, Twitter, A-R-L-L-V-N on Twitter. So you can find me there.
Ariel, you're the man. I appreciate it. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Transform Sales Podcast, Sales Agency Spotlight Series. It's probably episode 300 something. I don't even know. I don't remember. I'm just glad that my internet's working again. Ariel, I'm going to let you go. Have a good day. And
thank you.
Good luck prospecting as always, man. Take care.
Thanks, Amir.
You got it. Bye-bye.